Now, the sovereignty of God means that He is the sole sovereign in this universe. He is in charge. He is running all things.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
There is a Supreme Court seat open. Why is it so important?
We need judges who will respect the words of the Constitution, not try to import their own values into it.
And what can we expect with the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh?
We are in for a battle. It really has nothing to do with Kavanaugh, because they were already protesting before they knew who it was.
There is a major Supreme Court confirmation battle underway. Find out why it's crucial for the gospel and what you can personally do about it on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Of all the things we can say about the so-called culture wars we have witnessed in recent decades, one thing is self-evident. The United States Supreme Court often plays a pivotal role. From abortion to same-sex marriage, an activist court has been rewriting the Constitution to suit the policy preferences of the majority of its justices. But the opportunity to put a stop to this is finally upon us. Justice Anthony Kennedy, the swing vote on the court, has retired, and President Trump has nominated a new judge to take his place. On today's program, we will look at the nominee, and you will get an insider's perspective on why this may be an historic opportunity to rein in our out-of-control federal judiciary. You will also have an opportunity to make your voice heard on the need for judicial reformation. As we begin, former Senator Jim DeMint has participated in several Supreme Court nominations from the inside. He's now the chairman of the Conservative Partnership Institute, and recently sat down to talk with our own John Rabe in Washington, D.C.
Well, Senator DeMint, we appreciate you joining us as always. A busy time here in Washington, D.C. We have a significant nomination to the Supreme Court, don't we?
It is an exciting time. I mean, this has been a roller coaster with the Trump administration, but, you know, all in all, I've never seen a president more intent to keep his promises. And one of his key promises from the very beginning, and I know I was in the room and helped him put together that first list, is he was going to appoint good judges who would stick to the Constitution. And he's been true to that. He certainly was with Gorsuch. And I think he's done the same thing with Kavanaugh.
I'll be honest, when President Trump was running for office, I was dubious. I wasn't sure that he understood what a conservative justice really would look like, mm-hmm. and whether he was really interested in bringing that about. And here we are, not 2 years into his administration. I think he might be the best president on judicial issues in my entire lifetime. Is that an outrageous statement?
It seems outrageous, but again, I was in the room when he was saying, I want to put out a list of 10 judges to show that I'm serious, to show the quality of the people that I will nominate. But he wanted to show, particularly, I think, Republicans in the conservative movement, that he would appoint good judges. And doggone it, if he's not sticking to that list.
We as Christians and conservatives have really made the judiciary, and particularly the Supreme Court, but all of the federal judiciary, perhaps the central issue, certainly one of the central issues of what we're about. But for people who aren't familiar with it, why is that such a big deal? Why are these Supreme Court nominations and these judicial appointments such a big deal?
It's a great question. It's become a bigger and bigger deal because we've seen the left fail to achieve their goals through the legislative process. But they have, through the courts. So the Supreme Court changed the definition of marriage. They legalized abortion till the ninth month, at least until 10 years ago. So I think a lot of us as conservatives and I think thinking Americans realize that we have to put an emphasis on getting the right people on the courts, and we have to talk about the importance of sticking to those constitutional principles as written, as intended, not as has been interpreted over the years.
How is it that the court has attained this role? It's not the role that the founders set out for them. You read the Constitution, the section on the judiciary is extraordinarily short compared with the executive and the legislative branch, and yet they wield so much power now. How has that come to be?
Well, I was in the House and the Senate, so I've been in Congress, and Congress has just yielded its power to the executive branch and the courts. A lot of that has come from the way they write legislation, which is vague. It creates gray areas. So courts have to interpret what the law really means. And you've got lower courts making one decision. They come up to the Supreme Court. And almost by default, the courts have had to become legislators. So to fix it, we've got to fix Congress first.
At the end of this most recent Supreme Court term, Anthony Kennedy steps aside, announces his retirement. Why is that seat so particularly important on the Supreme Court?
Well, you know, he has been what they call the swing vote. So Kennedy seemed to go either way on some issues. And a lot of times when the decisions were 5-4 in the court, that he was actually on the conservative side. But on big decisions, on marriage and abortion and other things, he let us down. And so I think Reagan would have said he let him down. But he has served, I think, in an honorable way and the way he thought was best. But he was not necessarily, in my mind, true to the Constitution and a lot of his interpretations. So that's what we're looking for today. I really don't necessarily need a justice who comes out and gives all his positions on political issues. But they do have to convince me that they believe the Constitution is originally written and intended, and that the laws is originally written and intended. That's their job to enforce it. If the law is bad, it's not the judge's job to change the law.
As you've just heard, the fight to confirm Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court is setting up to be one of the fiercest confirmation battles in U.S. history. This is true because we stand at a critical moment, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to return the high court to constitutionalism and away from liberal and unconstitutional policymaking from the bench. So that your voice can be heard in this historic battle, we have put together an urgent petition to your senators calling upon them to promptly confirm Judge Kavanaugh. This petition is so urgent that it's not available by mail. We need you to go online to our website or call us in order to sign the petition. To put your name on the petition that will be delivered to your United States Senator urging prompt confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh. To do that, call us toll free at 877-962-7677. This is so important, and we expect the response to be so strong. If you get a busy signal, please call back. You can also sign the petition online at our ministry website using the special link djkm.org/SCOTUS. This could be the first step away from Roe versus Wade and other tragic and deadly decisions. For we do well to remember that there is a final bar of justice that stands above all earthly courts. I'm joined now by my good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad never got tired of pointing us to that higher judge who will one day judge the earth.
No, he didn't. And you know, he always taught us that Jesus is the ultimate judge of all the earth. It is true that, humanly speaking, our political situation can often look bleak, and the damage the U.S. Supreme Court has done in America, especially over the past 70 years, is undeniable. But we must also never lose sight of the fact that our God reigns, and his purposes can never be thwarted. This was a subject close to my dad's heart. He had a deep, intense love for America and wanted to see her return to her Christian roots. But he also struggled throughout his own life with illnesses and physical pain. Some people just throw up their hands when they see evil and suffering, assuming that there's no purpose. But through it all, my dad looked to God for his hope, knowing that nothing escaped his sovereign authority. Here's my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, with more from his powerful message, Who's Running America?
The Apostle Paul said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now, I believe that next to the promise of the gospel of Christ itself, that is the most comforting, consoling, and encouraging promise that exists in all of Scripture, that God is working together all things to our good. Did you ever stop to think? Paul says, we know that. But there are millions of people in this country that don't know it, that have no idea that such a thing as that is happening, and would be astonished indeed to find out. They believe that this world is completely out of control, that there is nothing but chance or fate that is governing it, and that the end looks anything but one that is promising. In fact, the whole world is going to die, there we're told, in the heat death of the universe. And all of the vaulted and glorious ambition of man will be consumed in that blackness. There is really no meaning, no purpose, no goal in mind. But we know that there is indeed a goal, that one far-off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. We know it because God has told us. Do you know it? I think that too often we think very little about it. Of course, what is involved in that is the divine supremacy, the sovereignty of God. Now, the sovereignty of God means that he is the sole sovereign in this universe. He is in charge. He is running all things. To a true Christian, the fact that our God is sovereign is a source of delicious consolation. That he is working all things together for our good. That everything that comes to us must come through the filter of a Father's love is a source of great peace and joy. But to the unbeliever, it is just the opposite. Oh, they wouldn't mind too much that God existed if he'd just keep his nose out of their business. But his nose and his hand are over all of our business. God's sovereignty is over all, from the greatest nova in the heavens to the smallest amoeba on earth. God reigns over all. This also applies to the history of our world, to nations as well. And in critical times, I think it's important for people to remember who's really running the nations of this earth. Has he made it plain to you, dear friend? Have you realized that God reigns among the nations and among the individuals of this earth? That he reigns over your life? Have you been shaking your fist into the face of an omnipotent one? You suppose that he is intimidated? How foolish can we be? And how hard-hearted to reject the offer of his love. May I remind you that the day of grace will one day close, irretrievably be lost. But now the sunshine of his grace is shining upon us, and the opportunity to find forgiveness and pardon is still available to all. And wonder of wonders, when you receive him as your Savior and Lord, you not only receive forgiveness for your sins, a pardon for all of your transgressions, a passport to paradise, but his marvelous promise that in between now and that day when you shall see him face to face, he is going to turn all things to your good. How glorious that is. How wondrous to meditate upon and to praise him for. His sovereign, mysterious, providential grace. Yes, dear ones, our Lord reigns.
As Dr. Kennedy just shared, our only hope for finding God's mercy, forgiveness, and grace is through faith in Jesus Christ. What amazing good news that is, that we who were rebels against the King can not only be forgiven, but then adopted and received as his children. Our nation was settled by people who believed deeply in that truth and sought to establish a land where God's children could freely worship him. Our founders wrote a constitution protecting that God-given right. Yet sadly, in recent decades, the U.S. Supreme Court has twisted the Constitution into an unrecognizable document. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
I think we all need to be watching and praying about what happens with the United States Supreme Court.
Well, I think there are a lot of areas in which we have drifted quite a ways from the original intent of the founders.
You know, it's funny. The founding fathers referred to the judicial branch as the weakest branch. Now, they didn't see it as taking this activist role of basically being a dictatorship.
The battle over the Supreme Court ultimately boils down to a battle of what kind of a country we are and will become.
Their job is not to create the law. Their job is to interpret the law as it has already been written by that other branch of government known as the legislative branch. What we're seeing now is in a world that's postmodern, who believes in situational ethics, who believes, for all intents and purposes, that you make it up as you go along, you can render a political decision as opposed to being bound by the law.
Well, the judicial branch is not the final word of what the Constitution is. The Constitution itself says, this Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. It doesn't say this Constitution as interpreted by judges is the supreme law. So the Constitution itself rejects that proposition.
This is a serious problem in our courts, and it comes from judges not approaching the Constitution as neutral arbiters, but looking at it as a tool to advance their policy goals.
Is this even remotely close to what the founders intended for our nation, where a slight majority of unelected judges with tenure for life can decide the present and future of the nation on what they essentially want the Constitution to say?
It's because our founders understood the basic sin nature of man. Not a popular concept in a postmodern world, but nonetheless, they understood our inherent nature was to be a sinner and that we needed a savior. So they put in place a system of checks and balances and created the three branches of government, the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. And the writing of the founders is crystal clear that of the three, the lower of the three is the judicial branch, because they did not want an oligarchy.
Well, the Supreme Court made itself very important by getting involved in issues that it really shouldn't have. It should have been leading to the states, or really expanding the role of the Supreme Court and making itself the final word on nearly every issue.
The ultimate debate in all of this is a judge's view of the Constitution. Is it something to be interpreted according to the words themselves, as an originalist judge would hold? Or is the Constitution like silly putty, to quote Henry Hyde, who opposed judicial activism? An activist judge could get the Constitution to say whatever he wanted the document to say. So the ultimate battle is this: are we Americans going to be self-governed? Or instead, shall we be ruled by our robed masters, which are in Washington?
An originalist is nothing more than somebody who looks at the words of the Constitution and tries to find out what they originally meant. Same thing with statutes. You sometimes hear a textualist. Justice Scalia used that word for himself. That just means that you pay attention to the text. When Congress enacts a statute, they don't enact some vague idea. They enact text. They enact words. But it basically comes down to, when a federal judge looks at a statute or the Constitution, does he try to find out what it means, or does he try to make it mean what he wants? That's what it comes down to. Those are two radically different kinds of judges. And the debate over judicial appointments is the debate over which of those two kind of judges is the most important.
It would be important to have Supreme Court justices who have a very humble view of their role, not this arrogant view that they can impose their opinions on the rest of the country, but rather a very humble view that respects the role of the people in our form of government.
As you have just seen, decades of raw judicial activism, with unaccountable courts running roughshod over the Constitution, has led us to a place of judicial tyranny. The sum of these activist and unconstitutional rulings led the late Justice Antonin Scalia to pen a scathing dissent in which he said that we have arrived at the place where my ruler and the ruler of 320 million Americans coast to coast is a majority of the 9 lawyers on the Supreme Court. Friends, this was never intended by those who ratified the U.S. Constitution. But by the grace of God, this vacancy at the U.S. Supreme Court may be the greatest opportunity in generations to change that. But for that to happen, your U.S. senators need to hear from you. Please contact us right away to sign our petition that will be delivered to both your United States senators, calling upon them to promptly confirm Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. If this battle is lost, the court may well slip away for generations and our freedoms along with it. So please contact us immediately to sign the petition by calling us toll-free at 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org/SCOTUS. SCOTUS is the acronym for the Supreme Court of the United States. djkm.org/SCOTUS. And when you do, please consider including a generous donation to help us continue this important battle, along with all the other important work of this ministry. Justice Anthony Kennedy, who just retired, authored some of the worst Supreme Court opinions in history, asserting that there's a constitutional right to sodomy and same-sex marriage, among other travesties. For his replacement, President Trump has nominated Judge Kavanaugh from the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. Judge Kavanaugh, like Justice Scalia before him, believes that the text and the meaning of the Constitution as written should guide the law, not the creative interpretations of unelected judges. The left is waging all-out political warfare on this nomination, since the courts have been their primary means of passing their agenda, and they see their advantage slipping away. We cannot let them be successful in defeating this nomination. We will not have a better opportunity to return the court back to its constitutional moorings than the one before us right now. Once again, you can sign the petition by calling us toll-free at 877-962-7677. And this is so important that if the lines are busy when you call, I urge you to please call back. You can also sign the petition online at djkm.org/SCOTUS. And please consider giving a generous donation to help us proclaim the truth of God and preach the gospel. May God bless you as you do. In 1987, Justice Lewis Powell, a longtime moderate swing vote, retired from the United States Supreme Court. Then President Ronald Reagan nominated Judge Robert Bork to replace him. Judge Bork was one of the best qualified nominees in American history, having been a Yale law professor, a judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals, and the Solicitor General of the United States. He was a conservative scholar who believed that the Constitution means what it says, not what judges wish it to say. The Bork nomination marked a sea change in American judicial nominations. The left immediately mobilized to defeat Bork's nomination. Within minutes of Bork being named, Senator Ted Kennedy, not exactly a moral giant in American politics, took to the Senate floor making outrageous and slanderous charges against Judge Bork. In a frenzied fit of mendacity, Senator Kennedy said, and I quote, "Robert Bork's America is a land in which women who would be forced into back alley abortions, blacks would sit at segregated lunch counters, and rogue police would break down citizens' doors in midnight raids," along with a slew of other odious and ridiculous claims. Amazingly, this blatant smear tactic worked, and the Bork nomination was defeated in a highly partisan vote. And so, a weak U.S. Senate succumbed to a litany of lies and refused to confirm one of the most qualified Supreme Court nominees in American history. That seat was eventually filled by Anthony Kennedy, who in his 30-plus years on the court became the poster child for judicial activism and tyranny. I recount this shameful tale of the failed Bork nomination for two reasons. First, to urge you to pray for Judge Kavanaugh and his family. The days ahead may be perilous for them. And second, to remind you that elections do matter. In this election year, be sure that your voice in defense of freedom is counted. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The U.S. Supreme Court stands at a great crossroads. Which way will our nation go?
This appointment of Brett Kavanaugh is pivotal for the direction of the Supreme Court.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.